Just a few thoughts I'd like to share with you tonight. This meeting tonight is very important. And I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans.
Hallelujah. In Romans chapter number 1, reading from verse 8. First, have you seen that there? Romans chapter 1, from verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Is your faith spoken of throughout the whole world? Wonderful. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. That's wonderful. I serve God with my spirit. You can only serve God with your spirit. And then, so beautifully, he says, in the gospel of his Son. In other words, according to the gospel. Anybody can profess to serve God, but God only accepts the one that is in accordance with the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established. This is the kind of thing that the church, for the most part, lacks today. He says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Look at this man. What in the world does he think he is? Look at Paul. Why didn't he say, I long to see you, that we may pray together and ask God to do something about it? He said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. He thought he had something to give. He knew it. He knew he had something. You know, I hear there's a lot of good, nice sounding teaching that only sounds humble, but it's a demonstration of ignorance. It's ignorance gone on a rampage. They say nobody has any gift. Only God has the gift. Stop saying you have a gift, they say. Only God. How could God have a gift? Who in the world gave it to him? To one is given. That's what the word says. You know, so a lot of times they think that they're being humble when they say, well, I'm not the one, it's Jesus, I'm not the one, it's God, and so on and so forth. God is not impressed by all that kind of talk. Humility is from your heart and your attitude to life. Amen. Look at this. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. He's saying, I'll get strengthened with that, and you'll get strengthened with that. My faith is going to be working, your faith is going to be working, and we will produce results. That's what he's saying. I long to see that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. He said, I've been wishing to travel down to come see you over there at Rome. I really love to come and see you. Because I want to impart something into your spirit. Glory to God. I want to give you something. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We've got something to give. We've got something to give. The reason there are so many weak Christians today is because they never received anything. The apostles went confirming them, strengthening them. We just preach and teach and go. We believe that since we have told them the truth, it's enough. It's not enough. The truth must be demonstrated. The Word of God is more than words. Paul said the gospel is not in word only, but in power. You know, I was reading one time several years ago. I believe that was somewhere between 1980 and 81. And this gentleman was explaining something about the gifts of the Spirit. And he said that God gives you, He gives you gifts according to your temperament. If you are someone that's somewhat violent and tough, and God gives you the power gifts. If you like to talk a lot, and then God gives you the prophecy and so on and so forth. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's amazing how people think about God. But that's not the way the Bible says. He gives according to His own will. According to His calling in our lives. When God calls you, He gives you the necessary equipment for what He's called you to do. Amen. And then He networks you. He gets you in contact with those that are necessary for your destiny. The Bible says, by a prophet, Israel was brought out of Egypt. And by a prophet, Israel was established. He didn't say by God. He says by prophet. God sent a man. Hallelujah. One of the reasons a lot of people fail in their lives is because they did not know the time of their visitation. You see, Israel did not know the time of her visitation. Jesus showed up. They had been waiting for the Messiah. Messiah came. They didn't know He was the one. We read something on the first night. What Jesus said to His disciples. They said, Master, the scribes always tell us that Elijah will come again before the Lord shows up. Is it the truth? And Jesus said, yeah, they were right. He said, you see that guy over there, John the Baptist? Yeah. He said, if you will receive it, I want to tell you the truth. If you will accept it, if you will receive it, that John you see over there, that's Elijah. He didn't force them to accept it. He said, if you will receive it, that's Elijah. They didn't have to accept it. He said, if you will, it's up to you. The question is not, does God want to do something? The question is, will you receive it? Look at Paul. He says, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Okay, it's not just Paul who wants to impart something. Does somebody want to get it? Is somebody going to receive it? That's what matters. In a conference like this, I want to tell you the kind of things that God watches out for. One, He watches out for the one who will hear the word. Get rhema out of the word that's being taught or preached. Can you get a hold? See, the word of God is coming like signals. There are radio signals all over this room right now. If you take your transistor radio, a radio receiver, and tune it, you will catch something. There are several signals. You can't see them right now. You can't hear them until you use the right equipment. In the same way, God's word is going out, crisscrossing this place. It depends on who's listening, whose spiritual antenna is raised. If your antenna is raised high enough, you can get it. You catch it. Boy, that's mine. Thank you, Jesus. I just got something. See, the word of God, let me show you something about God. When you study the Bible, you discover Papa God is not there saying, I want to bless you, and I don't want to bless you. And you, I'm not going to bless you. Yeah, I want to bless you, but not you. And you, and not you. No, he says, hello, everybody. I got a lot of stuff over here. Come, whosoever will may come. That's the way he is. He says, if you want it, come drink of the water. Some go, some don't. Some just stand there wondering. Yeah, they get nothing. When it's time to worship the Lord, what do you do? Let's worship the Lord. What do? You stand there being dignified. Okay, continue. Who is the loser? You. Just go on. Look at David, a man of the senses. He wasn't born again. In his day, it wasn't possible to be born again. But see the way he danced before the Lord. Until others began to despise him. This is not dignified. How can you dance like this? He didn't care. Until the daughter of Saul, King Saul, said to him, you disgraced yourself before the young ladies today. You know what David said? I like it. He said, look, I dance before God who made me king instead of your father. He said, he put me in your father's place. It's God who made me king. He said, and let me tell you, I will be even more vile in your eyes. Hallelujah. The anointing functions for those who become free. Oh, some of you didn't quite hear that. I said, the anointing functions for those who become free. The day you remove the chains from your feet and get those chains off your wrists, you know that's why God is using you mightily now. And you've got a great future ahead of you. Oh yeah. Yeah. Because you've released yourself to the Holy Ghost. That's what has happened. You haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. You know, can I tell you something about the move of the Spirit? Can I tell you something about it? You know what Jesus was teaching us when he walked on the water? He was showing us something about the life of faith, the life of the Spirit, walking on the water. And the disciples saw this man coming on the water. They thought he was a ghost. They said, oh, they began to cry. Elderly men crying out, crying for help. And Jesus said, be not afraid, I'm the one. And Peter heard that voice. And when he heard that voice, he said, Master, if you're the one, ask me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. He stepped out of the boat and began to walk on the water. Hey! He began to walk on the water to go to Jesus. Walking on the water is the life of the Spirit. Are you hearing me? Until you step out of the boat, you're not walking in the Spirit. The Spirit life is what is likened to water. You come out of that comfort zone. You come out of that security of the boat. And then you step on the water. Brother, you can only walk by faith when you're on that water. Because you don't walk by faith, you're going down. And what you do, the moment you step out, set your gaze on Jesus. I was telling you something yesterday about being in the Spirit. It's supposed to be our way of life. Because we were born there. The Bible says, if you live in the Spirit, walk also in the Spirit. In other words, if you've got the life of the Spirit, you ought to perform, live, move in the realm of the Spirit. Begin to practice it. Shut the world out. Shut the world out. And when you shut the world out, you begin to see things in the realm of the Spirit. I tell people, that's one of the reasons I love to pray. Because when I begin praying, I shut the world out. I do not see the impossible. I begin to see things of the Spirit of God. And my faith can really be strong. Those who don't pray much don't see anything except all that everybody else can see. See? But you want to do something remarkable for your generation. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, to impart unto you some spiritual gift. Do you know that God is not, he's not into this hard work that some of us want to do. Hard work. You know, we want to toil. We want to go through all these things. Uh-uh. The Spirit of God was sent to help us. He's called a helper. He's a helper. We are living in the day of rest. Are you hearing me? We are living in the day of rest. We are ruling, reigning with the King. We are seated together with Him. It doesn't say that we are standing in heaven. It says we are sitting. We are sitting. That's not the position of a laborer. Life has become wonderful. Even our evangelical life is not supposed to be a struggle. You share God's word. The anointing is on it. Everything you do turns into success. This is the blessing of Abraham. Do you understand it? It's the blessing of Abraham. And it's been given to us. The Bible says you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Abraham's seed doesn't have to struggle. The world belongs to him. He's the heir. That's Abraham's seed. And until you recognize that, you're going to be struggling, 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 struggling and struggling. Get out of that life of struggling. Get out of it. Step on the water. And remember, when you step on that water, don't turn back. Don't think of yourself. Don't think of yourself. Think of the one who's holding you. And that's why the anointing of the Holy Ghost is so important for every one of us. The anointing of the Spirit of God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, can I read you something? Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'll read to you from verse number 26. This is a new contract. I'm going to be reading to you now. The new contract. I said in a meeting like this, He watches out for you to get a hold of the word. The second thing that God watches out for in a meeting like this, He says, who will take off my spirit? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. From verse 26. Maybe I should read it to you from verse 25. This is the new contract. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Now, he didn't say, hey you, go try to wash yourself. He said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, boy, this is wonderful, look at it. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you
to walk in my statutes. When the Holy Ghost takes over your life, He says, I will cause you to do my will. You find yourself doing the will of God. It's no longer a struggle. He makes you do it. Don't you understand it? Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He said, the Lord set me upon my feet. God begins to lead you. He begins to move you. From then on, you don't go anywhere by chance. You don't meet anyone by chance. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and none of his steps shall slide. If I ever find myself anywhere, it's part of destiny at work. Holy Ghost at work. I could never be disadvantaged. Why? Disadvantaged? Never. How could I be? The anointing is upon me. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Presence of the Holy Ghost. He says, and I'll put my spirit within you, verse 27, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Look at that. That's not a commandment. Look at, in the Old Testament, he said, obey me. In the New Contract, he says, I'll put my spirit in you, and you will obey me. He says, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do my will, because my spirit will be in you. Now, what we have never done, a lot of people who have been suffering like that, they have never allowed the Holy Ghost to move in them. See, the Holy Spirit, Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He wants to be so mingled with your spirit until they can't tell him from you and they can't tell you from him. We become one with the Lord. Are you still there? That's what you mean by one divine creation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at it here. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will... look at it. I like it. Look at that. And I will call for the corn. That's prosperity, brother. Glory to God. You see, when the anointing is functioning in your life, prosperity must be at work in you. You will not have to struggle for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you open to this anointing of God's Spirit? Let it fill your heart. Oh. Verse 30, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that he shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Now, watch this. When the tree, yet, this is just beautiful. Look at it. Verse 31, then, I want you to compare this to all the religious preaching. Look at this. He says, then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Look at that. He says, I'm going to so bless you that you'll be ashamed of your wrong. Well, religion tells us, you've done so much wrong, God's not going to bless you. God says, I'm going to overlook your wrong and bless you until you're embarrassed. Look at it. The church needs to understand what this gospel is all about. Jesus paid the price of his own blood, not so he could get some weaklings. Come on here, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Sit down now. Let's look at it. Verse 31. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good. That's because of the blessing. And shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Watch verse 32. This is the new contract. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. What's he saying? Oh my goodness. He said to the children of Israel, I bless you because of your father Abraham. He said to the sons of David, I bless you because of David. If God will bless them because of Abraham, if God will bless them because of David, brother, you know it. Understand this. God doesn't want us. He doesn't want us to live holy because we want something. He wants us to live right because that's what we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He blesses us not because we have done something right, but because it belongs to us. We are born that way. Can you shout amen, somebody? Right there where you are tonight. Can I tell you what's going to happen? Are you ready? My, 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 my. Are you ready for this? God planned your life for His glory. You know, when I pray to the Lord, I say, Father, I was born for your glory. That's a fact. You were born for His glory. That's why God made you. You belong to Him for His glory. Now get ready for something. Let me mention this to you while you're getting ready. The Bible tells us that handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. And those handkerchiefs and aprons were laid on the sick. On contact with the handkerchiefs and aprons, the sickness is departed. The demons checked out. All right, this is just wonderful. Listen, watch this. The handkerchief had no intelligence whatsoever, but it contained the power of God, because the anointing is transferable. Paul had the handkerchief and transferred the anointing into the handkerchief. That handkerchief was taken by somebody. The handkerchief had no intelligence, but it contained the anointing. And that fellow took that handkerchief. The handkerchief said nothing, did nothing, smelled nothing, felt nothing. And the fellow took that handkerchief from Paul and took it over somewhere to where the sick was and dropped it on him. The sick got healed. He took it to where the demon possessed was and dropped it on him, and the demon checked out. Why? Because that handkerchief had a rub off of the anointing from Paul. Listen, you are better than a handkerchief. If the handkerchief, hold on. If the handkerchief that had no intelligence could contain the power of God, how much more you? How much more you?
trust that some people will shake your hands and they will be healed. Hallelujah. Your body was made to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? Oh, you look like you're ready for something tonight. I said, you look like you're ready for something tonight. I feel the anointing all over me right now. My. Hey. Hey. Are you ready? I said, pastors, are you ready? You want something? Take it. That's your tonight. You want it? You want it? Take it! You want it tonight? Take it! The power of the Holy Ghost! Take it! Oh, take it! Take it! Take it! Of the power of the Holy Ghost! The anointing of the Holy Ghost! You want it? You want it? Take it! That's the power of the Holy Ghost! You want it tonight? You want it? Take it! That's the power of the Holy Ghost! Oh, you want something? You're ready for something? You're ready for something? Take it! That's the power of the Holy Ghost! The anointing of the Holy Ghost! The anointing of the Holy Ghost! The anointing of the Holy Ghost. I am. Woo! Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hey, take it, sister. That's you. Yeah. Go on. Reach up. That's the power of the Holy Ghost.
God's going to use you. Can you say amen? You will not struggle. I said you will not struggle. I told you, you are better than the handkerchief. The anointing is all over you. Can you say amen? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That anointing is still being stirred. I feel something heavy over here that has to go tonight. Shatamangi Bobo Sede. Hold on just 1 minute. Hold on one moment. Let me tell you something. The anointing of the Holy Ghost was given to us to put us ahead in life. You understand? To put us ahead in life. We see what others don't see. Treasure that anointing. And when you get a hold of it in your life, hold it, keep it. Pray with it. Worship with it. Because when you worship God without the anointing, He doesn't get it. Everything that must be given to God must be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. God is so holy, and none of us can present Him with anything that's acceptable. And that's why the Holy Spirit must sanctify whatever we give to God. So even when we pray, we're speaking words to Him. Those words must be sanctified. So the Holy Ghost has come to help us. And that anointing moves in the air. It works in the air. That's why even though I'm here and you are there, you can get a hold of it. And that's the reason if I put my hand towards you in your direction, it'll come there. Remember, Moses was at the Red Sea. What did God say to him? He said, stretch your hand over the water and divide it. He didn't say, stretch your hand over the mountain and divide the water. He said, stretch your hand over the water. Where you want the anointing to go, he says, take your hand there. And the anointing will be released. Did you know that many touched Jesus and got nothing? Did you know that even though Jesus was heavily anointed, the anointing didn't work in Nazareth? Because didn't believe, didn't expect it, they couldn't get it. See, even though the power of God was there, they didn't receive it. To receive from God, it's not your head, it's not your mind, it's the Spirit. Your spirit takes it because it's from the Spirit of God, it comes to your spirit. So in your spirit, you get a hold of it. You take all of it. And when you do, this you. I told you last night, Saul, the Bible says when he left Samuel, when he turned to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. He was like a different man. God gave him another heart. The man that used to be afraid, all the fears melted away. All his doubts disappeared. Suddenly, he became bold. Suddenly, it happens suddenly. When the Spirit of God comes and moves on your life, He takes away the negatives. And you are like a different man. And many of you tonight, because this is what this kind of meeting is all about. Tonight, when you get out of here, you are walking out of this place a different man. He said, Samuel said to Saul, the Spirit of God shall come upon you. Not only shall you prophesy, he said, you shall be turned into another man. That's what the anointing does for you. Brother, from Baerza. Brother. Take it. Oh, boy. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Take it to Baerza. It'll burn like flames. I said it'll burn like flames. They can't stand it when you show up. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Woo! Take it to Josh. There you are. Thank you, Lord.
You want to catch it? Dear Lord Jesus, you want to catch it? You're going to do something with it? Are you ready? Dear Jesus, take it! Power of the Holy Ghost. You want it? You want it? You want it? Take it! The power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, take it! The power of the Holy Ghost! That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's coming to you now! Take it! The power of the Holy Ghost! Celebrate the Holy Ghost. Come on. Celebrate the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Glory to God. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you what's going to happen? Can I tell you? Some of you are going to be preaching in the bus. And while you are still speaking in the bus, are you hearing me? All those listening to you be electrified by the Holy Ghost. Electrified by the Holy Ghost. You know, we talk a lot about what Charles Finney experienced and Captain Coleman and so on and so forth. But the glory of the latter house shall be more than the former. Are you hearing me? I said the glory of this latter house. You know what God asked me to do? He said, send the anointing, and they will send it, and they will send it, and they will send it, and they will send it. You are carrying it from this meeting, but you're going to influence your world. Are you hearing me? Let me show you something. Listen. This anointing, remember, when it was in the handkerchief didn't do anything. But the power was there. But as soon as it made contact with the need, it responded. The power responded. Now, you are cool and calm. You're a nice guy, right? Okay. And you're doing your thing. But hear me. When you show up where the need is, I want to tell you how to cause the anointing to come up. Because many times some people don't know what to do to cause the anointing to come up. Let me tell you. Remember, he told us, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Which means it's our responsibility. You know, if you're anointed of God, and then when the anointing was needed, it didn't show up, you are to blame. It's never God. It's you. Because you got something to do with it. But many don't know what to do to cause the anointing to come. So I want to tell you. Alright? And you have to practice it over a long period of time. What do you mean long? I don't mean 10 years. But you know, you have to practice it over a period of time. And then the more you do it, the more you understand it. The more you do it, the more you understand it. Alright?
And then God takes you to the next level. And then the next level, because there are different levels of the anointing. The different levels of the anointing. Alright? Why? Because the things that we face in life are of different levels too. You understand? And it always takes something greater to come against what's coming to you at a higher level. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, here's what you do. Firstly, you know you've got to speak in other tongues. Speaking in tongues is the way to activate your spirit. You know that, okay? All right. Now, apart from speaking in tongues, it's so simple. You're all listening now. But it's something that after I've said it, you wonder, oh, but I knew that. The point is, you've got to learn to do it consciously. You will not make the anointing come, but you will get yourself ready for the flow of it. And God has let us know He's always ready. So it's us. So when I pray, I don't pray, God, oh, cause the anointing to do anything. I pray to be open to catch it. Open. See, there's the one that comes in you. There's the one that's inside you. And both are for two different things. All right? The one on the inside guides you. Leads you. The one that comes on you empowers you. Hallelujah. All right. Now, the one on the inside is stirred up by speaking in other tongues. The one that comes on you like a cloak, like a jacket that surges through your being like currents of electricity. All right. That's the one you want to know about. Okay. Number one, you set your mind on the Holy Ghost and His anointing. It's called working from the known to the unknown. All right? You work from the known to the unknown. Now, remember, there was a school of the prophets. And the Bible talks about the sons of the prophets. What do you think it's talking about? The prophets were bringing up other prophets and showing them how to receive from God. The Bible tells us that Samuel had not yet known the Lord and had not known how to receive the visions from God. Now, Eli had to teach Samuel how to receive God's word. Now, he didn't make the word come, but when it came, he knew how to respond to it. Did you catch what I said? Okay, so the first thing is to make sure you focus your mind on the Lord, on the Holy Ghost, on His anointing. Next, focus your mind on what it is you want Him to do, or what you want that anointing to do for you. It must start with your mind. Your mind is the door to your spirit. So your mind must come. And sometimes, you know, your mind wanders away. You've got to discipline it to bring it back here. That's why your mind is so important. Those people who received seed by the wayside when the sower went forth to sow, the Bible says they received the word but did not understand it. It was their mind. The problem was in the mind. They did not understand it. See? So, focus your mind. Focus your attention on the Holy Ghost, on that anointing, and what you want that anointing to do for you. I said your mind will always try to wander away. So get your mind back in there. And when your mind is focused there, the next thing is get on the water. That's the one that's hard to explain because it's a communication to the spirit. Get on the water is the simplest way to explain it in natural terms. I said, get on the water. Okay. The best for people who are spiritual like you. All right. When I say, let us worship God in other tongues, when I say, let's pray in other tongues, you don't ask me how. Because you've been praying in tongues for some time. So you just go. You don't even say, what do I start with? Should I say, ha, ha, ha? You don't say that. You just leap out. You just let yourself go. That's the same way with the anointing. Did you catch it? That's the same way. You just go. Meanwhile, you're alone praying. You just leap out of here as you do when you speak in other tongues. If I told you now to speak in tongues, you just go. But before you received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, you couldn't do that. And there was a time as a babe, you thought that tongues will only come when you got to a spiritual high. But later on, you realized you could stop speaking in English and just switch into tongues. Without any special power preparation, you just go. That's the same way you do the anointing. You just step out of the boat and into the water. And you don't think, you don't go like this. Is the water all right? You already know it's not all right. You're coming out. That's exactly what you do. Whew. Did you catch that? Remember this. The Lord is ministering to each one of us as individuals, and then also ministering to us as a group. That blessing that your spirit would take from here, nothing will take it from you. Can you say amen? Amen. Lift your hands toward heaven. Bless His holy name.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds.
If you want God to use your hands, all right, always worship Him and learn to lift your hands to Him. Did you hear what I said? Learn to do it with hands lifted to Him. It's very special to Him. It's very special. Remember what Paul said, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, without doubt unto the Lord. You see, it's important to God. When you wave your hand like that and say, thank you, Lord, I bless your holy name. It's a special kind of worship. It's a special kind of worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know what God is telling me? As you're standing here, God is telling me, you as a person, you represent many thousands. What is God saying? He is saying, I'm going to use one to win many, many thousands. As you're standing there, God's going to use you. Yes, He will. Hallelujah. Yes, He will. I pray for you tonight that the Spirit of the living God will rest upon you like never before. That the anointing will keep and guide you. That His wisdom will be manifested in you. And the wisdom of God will function in your spirit. I pray for you that the glory of God will be seen in your life. That others will see you and say, these are those that the Lord has blessed. These are those that the Lord has favored. And the hand of the Lord is upon them. And many will come to you and demand to know your Christ. And they shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Worship him.